Curtis Sliwa, the Guardian Angels founder and leader.
Attorney, radio, talk show host, Fox News contributor Ebony Williams.
On this side of the law.
Both sides have extremists.
On that side of the law.
To the millions, I feel this is problematic.
Turn it up!
Every story in the city matters. Every moment of the day matters. Every conversation matters. Curtis and Ebony. Curtis Sliwa.
Now putting aside the politics.
And Ebony K. Williams.
They don't make band-aids for hurt feelings.
The stories. The moments. The conversation.
I fought the law and the law won.
The new midday show. 77 WABC.
L-A-M-O-R-O-U-S, yeah. G-L-A-M-O-R-O-U-S,
yeah. All right, 7 minutes after 12. Boy, I'll say that was an eventful morning, huh, Curtis Sliwa? As I was coming in here, 17th floor, high above Madison Square Garden, I started getting alerts on my phone via social media that Mr. Imus here, you know, was trying to give me a well-intentioned shout-out, but had some right and a little bit of fake news. So I have to say, it's with a heavy heart that I'm going to have to say goodbye to my WABC family here, Curtis, and goodbye to you. Today will be my last day here on air with you. And although just 4 months, you taught me a lot. We had a lot of fun. I know you had better days, but in all sincerity, it was my honor and my privilege to share a microphone in a studio with you. And it's going to be hard to say bye to you and the family here. But Imus was so busy shouting me out and congratulating me on my next position that he got a little bit wrong there. Let's back it up and recount the facts. You know that I came into this role, Curtis, thrilled to be able to host a talk radio show with you here Monday through Friday. And I'd gotten it just after I'd signed on to host the Fox News Specialist.
Yes.
With Cat Tim, rather, and Eric Bowling, 5 to 6 at Fox News. And everybody out there knows that the Specialist had a good run, but ultimately ran into some problems, and the network decided to move in another direction. And as a result, had a domino effect. And, you know, everybody that is familiar with my work knows that, you know, I'm a TV host, and as a result of what happened with the Specialist, I've now got to procure another television opportunity, and I'm excited that some things are emerging, some things that are interesting and exciting. But I've not accepted anything yet, and I'm continuing to have good conversations with good networks about what'll make sense to move forward with. But I got to tell you, I'm going to break the news right here at WABC, if you'll let me, so I can inform you guys first and foremost.
Sure.
Where you all can catch me on television as I move to
the
next thing.
Well, you informed me early on in the process that you were pursuing other opportunities in TV, and we kind of knew that would happen when the Fox News Channel program was dissolved through nothing that you had done, but obviously through the personal activities of Eric Bowling. And I know management here, both Chad Lopez, our Capo di Tutti, in charge of our Cumulus family.
What'd you call him?
Capo di Tutti. He's in charge of
Cholo.
Everything.
Oh, Cholo. Yeah.
Right, right. And Craig Schwab, our program director. Did you let them know early on in the process? They gave you your blessings and said, no. You've always said, you know, that your TV is the most important thing in establishing your reputation, because that's where you landed first. So we all wish you the best. Obviously, for 4 months, you were great here. You took us in a different direction, a direction we need to go, which is not always discuss Trump, politics, or things from a white male point of view, which is what we predominantly do here at WABC.
Although that's a beautiful white male point of view that you do have.
Yes, yes. And we're beholden to you because we know what the format has to be. And obviously, we will pursue trying to keep and hold to that concept of introducing more ideas, more concepts about cultural events, social events, personal events, which of late in all of talk radio has been missing in action. So we thank you for the time you put in, Ebony. Kay Williams, you had a lot of duress during the process. You had the stalker there was coming at
crazy,
you.
Crazy,
that eventually
man.
Got arrested in Atlanta, Georgia, that we personally witnessed when
yeah,
you were doing
you
your book signing at the Barnes & Nobles there on 86th Street in Lexington. So I know you were under a great degree of stress and strain.
Yeah. This would be a good time, though, Chris, to shout both you and Nancy out, as well as WABC Suits and Muckety Mucks, Justin B. Love as well, our producer here. You know, during that stressful period, you guys showed up. And I got to tell you, I heard Nancy was a badass, but boy, is she. And you're lucky to have her, and you two made me feel safe and protected in what was otherwise a very turbulent time. So, you know, you guys couldn't have been better to me. That's obvious. We had a lot of fun. And in fact, you gave me a new middle name. And I think I'll stick with it.
Yeah.
I think I'll take that wherever I go.
In fact, it was frightening for guys, never mind for you, Ebony, because you were the object of the stalker. But this guy reminded me of that character in Shawshank Redemption. Remember
oh,
that big guy?
Yeah.
I forget the name of the actor.
It's one of my favorite movies.
But yeah. I was shadowing him, and he came up and shook my hands, and I said, my God, this guy's got a vice grip.
Sure.
And he was traveling the entire country tracking you down.
Like a crazy person.
Right.
Dude, I'm not that special.
Right.
But it was good stuff. So, you know, again, so sad to have to walk away today. But looking forward to the next thing, the thing that makes sense for the television career to continue in the right direction. And if you'll have me back, I'll come back and share that news with
oh,
you when
absolutely.
I get it.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You leave after 4 months with nothing but a stellar reputation and having contributed to us. And as I said, giving us different content, a different direction, a different aspect of talk that we've been bereft of, because it's always been Trump, 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 the election, politics, Obama sucks, Trump is great. And, you know, after a while, for some listeners, that gets a little tiring. And for new listeners, they just don't want to hear that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're not going to come to listen to WABC if that's all you get all the time. It has its place.
Mm-hmm.
There's certainly enough of our fellow colleagues here who spend a predominant amount of time of talking about that. But we were crafting this show to be different. It is different. And we're going to try to stick to that direction, even in
oh,
your absence.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because you got so many layers. When it was first announced that we'd be joined at the hip here, radio husband and wife, I was familiar with your work, obviously, but thought of you mostly as a traditional radio host. And boy, I got to tell you, so many times, Curtis Lee, I would bring in stories that I thought, I don't know if this is too much of a woman story. Maybe this is too much of a millennial story. Maybe this is too much, you know, this, that, and third. And boy, you shocked me, because you ended up being the authority on frozen eggs, embryos, and a slew of other issues.
Oh, I've been through all that drama.
Yeah.
So I'm an actual resident expert. People actually come to me
you're
to get information about
yeah.
these things.
You're
I've been through
me.
The mill.
Oh, man. So that was a fun surprise to find how you're like an onion, Curtis Lee. Layer after layer after layer, just as you're sitting here layered today, T-shirt, undershirt. All under your red
track. And I can
jacket.
Tell you, just in this past weekend alone, at the Oyster Bay Fest in Oyster Bay, Long Island, huge gathering. I mean, hundreds of thousands of people over 2 days. A lot of people coming up, welcoming you, Ebony, liking the fact that you had a different take on things. You were talking about different subjects in talk radio. And then again, back to back, belly to belly at the Third mm-hmm. Avenue Festival in the heart of Bay Ridge, Brooklyn. We're talking hardcore WABC listeners there who go back to the days of Bob Grant. And again, saying you were a welcome addition. So now that you've sort of set the tone for the direction we should be going in, it'll be up to me and whoever else I'm eventually partnered up with, whether it's a series of different individuals at first as a sort of showcase their talent.
Yeah, this will be a bit like the contest. What did you have, the next Mrs. Sliwa contest?
Yeah, we had that, but that's been dissolved. I think there were like 40 candidates for that.
So I'm excited to sit back and see who becomes heir apparent as well. To sit beside you in this business is an honor, though, and you should know that. So
all
thank
right,
you.
Well, I appreciate that. And let's get down and do what we've done for the past 4 months and start with our live and local subject of the day, which is the MTA, the money-taking agency. How crazy is this that with all the track fires that have led to massive delays and rerouting in the system? Just yesterday, I was
going to say, you were just complaining about the letter lines yesterday.
Right. All the letter lines were messed up as a result of signal problems.
Mm.
But many of the problems have been simply because trash accumulates in these catch basins at both ends of the stations. So whether it's a main station or it's a smaller station, the trash has to be removed. And generally in the past, it required old school methods. You would have a guy, usually guys, sometimes women in the work crew, late at night in the off-peak hours. They would go down into the tracks with shovels and hefty trash bags and remove the flotsam and jetsam.
By hand.
Right.
Golly.
And then the MTA cut back on that. Then, about 4 years ago, the board members, none of whom ride the trains, none of them will use the subways, they're all patronage appointees of Governor Andrew Evilize Cuomo, King Cuomo II, the son of Mario Faccia Bruta Cuomo, King Cuomo I, or Comrade Bill de Blasio, the mayor. They opted with this idea. Let us remove the trash cans. Because through behavior modification, the commuters using the subway lines will then take the trash in hand, and instead of discarding on the platform or discarding in the tracks, they'll take it topside to the street.
By the way, stupidest decision. When I first moved to New York, I'm glad you bring this up, Sliwa. I was thinking to myself, because I'm a train rider, you know, I'm cheap. It'll be trains and Uber pools till the day I die. And I would have a can of yogurt, a bottle of water, whatever. And I'm thinking, where is the trash can on the track so I can throw this in? And I've got to search for 2 miles to find a daggone trash can. Yeah. That is so dumb.
Right. So people naturally started discarding trash more than they had before.
It's worse.
Which led to more rats, more rodents, more cockroaches, and actually more track fires. Mm. So, what do you think the MTA decided to do yesterday to try to save some scarol, some coin? The trash cleaners, who normally maintain the station, so they come out at night. Most of you don't see them because it's in the off-peak hours, after rush hour. These are mostly men, but some women. They empty the trash cans, and then they sweep up the station platforms and the outside of the stations.
Now, do they go into the track?
No. That's a separate crew.
Got it. Okay.
In fact, we got a separate crew now. In fact, they have special machines. They've spent millions of dollars, $23 million for these trains that vacuum up the trash. Half the time, they're not working because they don't have parts to retrofit and get the trains back on track, so they're left in the barns.
So what are they doing, sitting around drinking coffee?
It's drinking coffee and looking at the train and saying, how are we going to fix this brand-new figamajig?
Oh, my God.
And so these were men and women who simply were assigned to stations to do maintenance. They're now cutting back on them. So you know what you're going to have? More trash in the tracks, more trash fires, more rats, more rodents, more cockroaches, more mishigash. Mm. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, it's your MTA, money-taking agency at work, led by, that's right, Andrew Evilize Cuomo, King Cuomo II, who's always saying, don't blame me for the problems of the MTA, and Comrade Bill de Blasio, the mayor, who's saying, I have nothing to do with the MTA, even though I appoint board members. 1-800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222.
Quick question, Curtis.
Yes.
Who has the money? I always say in these problems where everybody wants to play these stupid, annoying blame games on government time, follow the money, right? Who's got the MTA budget? Who controls their purse strings?
The governor of the state of New York, Andrew Cuomo.
So, and ultimately, Buck stops with him.
Right. And the majority of the board members appointed through patronage, his patronage, is the governor.
Mm.
And let's look at all the tourists who now ride, who stand in front of these Metro card dispensers.
And they hesitate.
Right.
And,
they don't know how to operate it.
Poor
Nobody
thing.
Is there to help
yeah,
them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But they end up adding so much more revenue to the system because of the incredible number of tourists who use the system and get mistreated, abused, and misused like the rest of us.
That's true. That's true. Also, the tourists overbuy, Curtis. They'll buy, you know, $30, $40 worth and only tab like a few swipes. So it's nice.
Over this past weekend, you couldn't even use the Metro machines because they were rejecting all kinds of credit cards and debit cards because they were supposedly being retrofitted. You know, the computer apparatus was being updated. It's a system that is completely out of whack with the needs of a first world mass transportation system, which unfortunately our subway system is not. Our number is 1-800-848-WABC.
Imus in the morning.
So far, so good.
And Curtis and Ebony.
You've got good gangs and bad gangs.
I'm going to give it to them.
On air, online, on the app.
This is really good, isn't it?
77 WABC.
W-A-B-C.
Here comes the Oh, outstanding. As Aaron Judge delivered, along with Frazier, 2-3-run blast, and CC Sabathia was absolutely magnificent on the mound last night, staving off a third possible loss to the Houston Astros, which would have been very difficult to come back from in order to get through the playoffs and into the World Series. But, wow, Aaron Judge, both in the field, two unbelievable, I would call it almost, it was the way he was able to move and he was like Gumby out in the outfield with those two catches. Totally different types of catches. One he had to come in on, one he had to go back onto and crash into the fence. And then his magnificent home run along with Todd Frazier and CC Sabathia just came through again in this playoff series. But for all you tried and true Yankee fans and you miserable Met fans who have to sit on the sidelines, you have a chance to make some scout-all. That's right. It's your shot at $1,000. It happens four times a day this week on 77 WABC. You listen for keywords at 9.05 a.m. during Bernie and Sid, 12.05 during this show, 3.05 during Michael Savage, and 6.05 p.m. during Mark Levin. You text the keyword to 62582, and you could be a winner. The new 4K a day contest is on all this week. Just listen, text, and win. That's four times a day. Get details on WABCRadio.com. That's WABCRadio.com. So, you see, you were with a winner last night, the New York Yankees. Although, I bet you...
Yeah, you know, bring them luck.
You weren't there with your Trendoids, Freakazoids, or Jet Setters.
No, I didn't get to that game. They won in my absence. But remember, the last couple Yankees games I went to, Curtis, they pulled out that W. So, I do think there's something to me being present in those stands, not far at all from where I live uptown in Harlem, that helps them out.
But you know what happens during the playoffs? The real tried and true fans sometimes are invisible in the crowd because those tickets
they're
either
hot,
transferred corporately or they're sold because they're obviously a lot of money to be made.
Mm-hmm.
And you can tell they're new Jack Yankee fans because they come in with all brand new paraphernalia with the stickers still on, you know, on the throwback cheetah jerseys, on the hats, on any of the other paraphernalia. They're fair weather Yankee fans. But you would never know, obviously, if you're sitting at home watching it on your big screen 72-inch screen.
Yeah, but if you're there live in the stands, I think you're exactly right, because those tickets are astronomical. You go to StubHub, you're talking thousands of dollars.
But anyway, let's go to the phones. As we were talking about the MTA, the money-taking agency, and their inability to get rid of the trash out of the system, which leads to the many trash fires, delays, and reroutes, let's go to John in Staten Island. Welcome to Curtis and Ebony here on WABC. Johnny?
Well, I just want to mention that there should be two strikes against Cuomo, and it should be three. But we got number one, he named the Tappan Zee Bridge, which is an indigenous Indian tribe from upstate, into Mario Cuomo. So right there, that's one strike. Number two, he spent $2 billion for the Upper East Side when he should have built the tunnels from New Jersey and New York so he gets stuff over here. And number three, if he's not stupid enough to learn that if you can't put planes on top, like we used to have the airlines, so, you know, around the whole area. Put airlines up. Why spend billions of dollars to rip out holes in the bottom? Cross traffic you can't deliver. If you put an airline with apartments on top, maybe you could have apartments and transportation.
Well, that's what we're going to be talking, Johnny, we're going to be talking about that later, where Ebony now resides, uptown in Harlem. They have put up these high-rises and charged incredible amounts of money.
Oh, my gosh.
And now the residents are complaining that when they look down into Marcus Garvey Park right before 125th Street, they see all night fornication and copulation of different types of people. And they're all upset. And I'm saying, as old school, hey, everybody knew Marcus Garvey was a haven for all kinds of prostitutes and johns at night. Transgendered, gender benders, men, women, you name it. They were all there purveying their trades.
Oh, I thought you were going to say skills. But, you know, Curtis, I guess this is what gentrification looks like. As Harlem starts to look different, broader, we'll say. Yeah, you're right. Some of the old school habits, they ain't going to fly when you're paying $2, $3 million for a condo.
We'll talk about that later on, but right now it's time for our news headlines and updates with Ken Duffy.
Curtis and Ebony. The stories, the moments, the new midday show.
Up on the law and the law one.
77 WABC and the WABC radio app.
Close to midnight, something evil's lurking in the
I loathe, I despise this pedophile on a pedestal, Michael Jackson.
Please, well, stop playing. Knock it off. You just brought us back with a Michael Jackson song last week. Stop it. And there's no better song to get us in the holiday Halloween spirit than Michael Jackson's classic. It's a cult classic. It's a real classic Thriller. Ooh, come on. It's the best ever. Ever.
Madonna, man.
Oh, please. Now, hey, listen.
What is he? Did he give it some Jesus juice during this performance?
Stop hating. You know, Michael Jackson literally gave us what we now know is music videos. Do you remember this video? Do you remember that?
Yeah,
that
of course movie? I remember this
video. It was
video.
Amazing. Changed the game.
Didn't Michael Scorsese have something to do with this?
Scorsese directed it. Yeah, right, absolutely. Right, okay. I mean, it was a full throttle movie.
I hate him for that.
You hate
I
him for
hate
that?
Scorsese for that.
You love it. But listen, you know, Curtis, I consider myself well-versed in the nuance of diversity and inclusion. I have an academic background in the subject matter. But this is just getting ridiculous, okay? It's to the point where every year for Halloween, people have to send out these mass emails, these mass memos to their employees, to their students, to their sorority and fraternity members around what not to wear for Halloween in terms of costumes that are going to be found to be offensive, disrespectful, and degrading. So that's number one. To me, it's not that complicated. I think people with reasonable minds, and I think that's the problem because a lot of people ain't reasonable these days. Reasonable minds, they understand the difference between a costume and something that is disrespectful to someone's heritage, a la going out in blackface, as for some reason, someone, including a celebrity, tends to do every single year. I remember Julianne Hough, famous from Dancing with the Stars or whatever, tried to pay homage to one of my favorite shows, Orange is the New Black. And there's a character called Crazy Eyes, happens to be played by an actress. I think she's of Nigerian or some African descent. She's very dark complected. So Julianne Hough puts her hair in the notch, just like Crazy Eyes, but then puts on blackface in 2000. I think it was 15 or 16. Come on, Julianne. We don't do that anymore.
By the way, you mentioned Orange is the New Black.
Yes,
right?
I love that show.
Did you see in the papers today, the Daily News caught Anthony the Weiner Wiener, the perv, sitting on a train dressed all in orange in preparing for his role in Orange is the New Black in prison.
Like, seriously?
Yeah. In today's Daily News, he's got the earbuds in. He's looking down. He's got the New York Met cap on. That's right, New York Met fans.
Uh-oh.
You got him rocking your cap,
uh-oh,
that perv.
That's
that,
not a good ambassador, Mets.
But he's like months away from doing time. So maybe we'll have a male version of Orange is the New Black.
Oh, my goodness, Wiener. That's going to be a disaster. But, yeah, so I don't understand why people still don't understand the do's and the don'ts around Halloween costumes. And then you've got, Curtis, also, I guess, in the post here, a mother who is having a moral dilemma. And I think that says it all, the fact that you're having a moral dilemma. This is so dramatic, so high stakes from a moral standpoint that this mother here in New York doesn't know if it's okay for her daughter to go dressed as Moana. Apparently, this is a Disney character of Polynesian descent that saves her family from famine and ruin. Or Elsa from the Disney Hollywood hit Frozen, because
yeah,
she's Scandinavian, long blonde hair. And this mother, Curtis, goes into this diatribe around, well, if she goes as the Moana character, then is she cultural appropriating the ethnicity of that character because she's Polynesian? Or if she goes the other way and she does the Elsa princess, is she sending her daughter, who I guess is a brunette with short hair, a message that in order to be a beautiful princess, you have to have long blonde locks, blue eyes, and subscribe, I guess, to a Eurocentric aesthetic? The daughter is like five. Like, are we really going this deep, this heavy with a five-year-old? Just put on the damn costume that she wants and go on about your business. But instead, the mother made her go as Mickey Mouse because that's a fake character, and that way nobody would be offended.
Mickey Mouse, not Minnie Mouse?
It says Mickey Mouse.
So the girl is going as the boy Mickey Mouse and not as the girl Minnie Mouse. Well, that makes sense nowadays with all this gender bender going on.
Uh-oh.
Right, this makes sense.
Uh-oh.
Confuse transgender, the kids even more.
Transgender, gender flexible Disney characters here. Yeah, it's, I just actually think we've gone too far. I'm saying that. I actually think we've gone too far.
Well, let's find out from our many listeners. 1-800-848-WABC. All these new rules and regulations for Halloween. What you can wear, what you can't wear, because you'll be accused of cultural appropriation or insensitivity. 1-800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222. Now, let me ask you a few things.
Mm-hmm.
Since I never went to college, I wasn't part of a frat or a sorority like you. What was the name of your sorority?
Alpha Kappa Alpha Sorority Incorporated. And real quick, Curtis, we're actually, if you want to see some lovely ladies of Alpha Kappa Alpha Sorority Incorporated, mm-hmm. we're going to be gathering in Harlem, uptown, tonight, where we're having a signing for my book, pretty powerful. But really, more importantly, we're having a community service event. The Boys and Girls Club of Harlem, which is a great organization. I spent a lot of time volunteering there. We'll be there 7 to 9 at the Boys and Girls Club, talking pretty powerful, and ways to give back
now,
to the kids.
Are these SWAs like yourself, Sisters with Attitude, or are they drop-dead gorgeous Ebony Queens?
I think they're the latter. They're definitely drop-dead gorgeous Ebony Queens known to wear the pink and the green. But I wouldn't call it an attitude. You probably would, because they got a lot to say.
I think I'm going to take a pass on that.
You don't want to be with a bunch of Ebony Queens,
oh,
Curtis?
Oh, no, please. Please, I have flashbacks to my first wife. Please. No disrespect to you, Ebony, or to your girlfriends, your gal pals, but it'll be a flashback
to
my first wife.
You had some Harlem memories there, too, right?
Oh, that's why I got married.
That's right. That's what I thought.
1-800-848-WABC. Let's go to Jay in Westchester. Welcome to Curtis and Ebony K. Williams here on WABC. Jay?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call. Ebony, I agree with you 1,000%. I think people are overthinking the thing way too much. I mean, the kid is five. 5 years old. This is supposed to be fun, not overthinking, oh, what costume can I not put them in?
Yeah. I mean, you know, I wanted to go as Pocahontas as a little girl. And while I might, family history, rumor has it, we've got a little Choctaw Native American. I don't know if that's true. So am I culturally appropriating the Native Americans if I go as Pocahontas?
I personally don't think so. I mean, it's just you dress up, you go get some candy, you have fun, and that's it. Mm. Nothing more.
Now that you brought this up, Ebony K. Williams, this is a bone that I have to pick with you and all African Americans.
Oh, good.
Every black guy,
I love it when I speak for the whole black community,
that I have ever run into swear.
I know what you're going to say.
That they've got Indian blood in them.
Correct.
Or Cherokee.
It's
Apache
always Cherokee.
Blood,
right. I feel like it's almost always Cherokee.
Right. Cherokee, Apache. You know, it's like they read some book somewhere. And they saw a dark-skinned Indian, and they claim, oh, yeah, yeah, that was my great-great-great-great uncle. And I'm saying, get the hell out of here.
And
you
most
don't
of
have
the
a
time,
drop of Indian blood in you.
Most of the time, you're right. A lot of Ancestry.com, 23andMe, prove all that to be false. But I will say in my case, to the narrative and respect of my lineage, you know, I'm from the Bayou, Creole country originally. That's where I was born, South Louisiana, Amy, to be exact. Lots of Choctaws were in that area of Louisiana and Oklahoma. So that's where we get it from. Great-great-grandmother Mariah allegedly was Choctaw, but hey, you're right.
So,
I don't know.
Let me ask you a question now.
What up?
As a result of this 1,000%...
The one drop rule.
Choctaw blood you have in you,
mm-hmm.
are you going to be declaring that you have the rights to open up
a casino
in Southern Louisiana?
Yes. Yeah, you know, I've been trying to prove it for years, Curtis, and the minute I get the paperwork together... I want all my money back.
I'll never forget, Steve Wynn and Trump were battling to open up a casino in Bridgeport, Connecticut.
This is so funny.
And the people who came forward in East Bridgeport, all of them were African-Americans claiming, oh, no, we're from the original Indian tribe here. We should have the rights, not Steve Wynn, not Donald Trump. And I looked at the faces of all these guys and some gals, and I said, I don't see anything that even resembles an Indian in your facial structure. Nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And they swore, oh, no, 1,852%.
I would love to fight
Iroquois.
You on it because that's a lot of fun for me, Curtis. As you know, I like going to battle with you. But on this, you got to say, you're right. A lot of my black folks always claiming to be Indian or Cherokee. And most of the time, it's malarkey.
Let's go to Alan calling from Chelsea. Welcome to Curtis and Ebony K. Williams here on WABC. Alan.
Hey, thanks for the residency you did with Curtis, Ebony. You won over so many people in the last 4 months. And
yeah.
So did your mother.
We had a ton of fun.
Curtis, we got to have her mother in co-hosting with you one of these days, man.
No, she loves Curtis.
Fun.
Oh, my God.
And on this Halloween thing, another Jedi mind trick is that they actually, if a rich area is next to a poor area, the rich kids go, they all get together, and the parents in the neighborhood have you go like trick-or-treating a couple of days before. It's unbelievable what's happening in America.
There you know what? I have noticed that. I thought I was just getting old, Alan, but you're right. Yeah, they start really early.
It's premeditated. When I was a kid, Curtis, I grew up in Corona. Where do you think we were trick-or-treating? In the Forest Hills Gardens, in the areas of Forest Hills. But you know what? You can't anymore because they all get together in their own cynical way and they change the dates all over the country to a weekend before or a weekend after.
Now, hold on a second. You mean, how old are you, Alan?
I just turned 50, my brother.
Okay, 50. Okay, so Forest Gardens at that time still restricted Jews, so they had mostly wasps. Are you telling me the wasps were more generous to you than the Italians in Corona there near Spaghetti Park? Are you telling me they filled up your Halloween bags? Because wasps are notoriously cheapskate. They give you the candy corns wrapped in the little paper towel.
No, I'm breaking that myth right here, my brother. Full-size stickers. And you know what? They always, a lot of those people just used to give you a dollar, where a dollar was like, $5.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, if you get cash.
That's true. And they didn't card you because, you know, if you walk through the Forest Gardens, that's a private community, they'd ask you, are you from here? If not, we're going to arrest you. Didn't they say that to you, Alan?
One year we hit the Grand Poopah. We snuck into the Kennedy House, Curtis.
Oh.
And we actually knocked on Ed Crampool's door because he lived there. And he gave us, I think it was $1. Him and his wife and Mrs. Crampool. But when you hit a 30-story like that, you're there all night. You come out, you're good.
I amend that. I apologize to all those wasps who used to live in the Forest Gardens who restricted Jews, although Jews now live there along with East Asians and everyone else. But there was a period of time, if you were a Jew, you couldn't live in the Forest Gardens. And I remember one time I was walking through that area with my cousin, Lenny Beans Bianchino. They had their own private police. They pinched us. They threw us in the back of the car. They
was said, that your first arrest?
No, it wasn't an arrest.
Oh, okay.
They escorted us to the border on the other side of Forest Park. There's a golf course, and then there's the Ridgewood Reservoir. They drove us all the way there, dropped us at the Ridgewood Reservoir, which is where East New York starts in Brooklyn, and said, get the hell out of here. We never want to see you in the gardens again. You're not a resident.
Wow.
Oh, I won't forget that.
Stuffy crowd.
I hate the Forest Gardens with a passion. 1-800-848-WABC. And then I need to ask you, why is it I can't put on Indian headdress and act like Chief Wahoo?
Well, again, this is where it gets complicated.
Why is it I can't be like a Mexican wearing a sombrero?
Oh, Lord.
Or a Chinese guy, you know, wearing the Chinese rice hat.
Well, this is the same reason I couldn't be Pocahontas. It starts getting back to a cultural appropriation. I think we got to talk more about it because I do think there is such thing, but I think a five-year-old is not the place to have the dialogue.
Our number is 1-800-848-WABC. Now, let me ask you a question here, Ebony K. Williams. There
yes,
was a time
sir.
When Bruce Lee was the rage on the big screen as the kung fu master, martial arts master, Enter the Dragon, 1973 hit. I mean, huge. You had Lew Alcindor, a.k.a. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. You had some other noted guys fighting him. So a lot of kids would go trick-or-treating, and they would wear the Kung Fu Bruce Lee black jacket and pants with the slippers, and they would wear that coolie hat, that rice hat. That would be considered politically incorrect now, right?
Nowadays. Oh, yeah, big time, because you're emulating Asian culture.
So if all of a sudden you're going up to the door and go,
don't do that. That's a no-no. That's a no-no. That's like somebody putting a do-rag, a bandana, a fat suit, and a thing of a pancake mix and a spatula saying they're Angel Mama. It's a no-no.
But I can wear my do-rag, right?
Well, yeah, because that's Curtis Lee were authentic.
Because, you know, I have waves.
I know, you
I
got a wave brush. I didn't believe you were really black until I saw that wave brush.
And
that
I got my do-rag.
And that do-rag. And your name is Curtis.
Bring the noise!
Curtis Sliwa, the Guardian Angels founder and leader.
Attorney, radio, talk show host. Fox News contributor Ebony Williams.
On this side of the law.
Both sides have extremists.
On that side of the law.
To the millions, I feel this is problematic.
Turn it up!
Every story in the city matters. Every moment of the day matters. Every conversation matters. Curtis and Ebony. Sliwa.
Now, putting aside the politics.
And Ebony K. Williams.
They don't make Band-Aids for hurt feelings.
The stories. The stories. The moments. The conversation.
I fought the law and the law won.
The new Midday Show. 77 WABC.
Blame it on the losers. Got you feeling loose. Blame it on the throne. Got you feeling strong. Blame it on the alcohol. Blame it on the it, she says she usually don't.
7 minutes after the hour of one. What's this? What's this, 70 K. Williams?
This comeback song?
Yeah.
I got to tell you, I got to turn around here and look at B on this. Why are we blaming? It was Trump drunk when he said what he said about Obama and Bush not visiting the families of fallen soldiers. Blame it on the alcohol?
It's not too bad. It's got a nice flow. It's got a nice beat. I like the way it flows here. I was going to compliment you, you see, and you were thinking I was immediately.
Well, because I don't get it. I mean, that's fine. The song's okay, but blame it on the alcohol?
Well, see,
okay.
It's based on what our president was doing yesterday as he was mumbling and fumbling away through what he was saying at the White House to a series of reporters and also what he had been tweeting about earlier, where he was blaming everybody else for everything.
I understand. But you know Trump doesn't drink, right? Okay, go ahead, though.
Well, in fact, let's go to the cuts because it wasn't a good day for the president yesterday because I guess he was talking before he had any consultation with people who might have known better. It could have prevented him from sticking his foot in his mouth.
The toughest calls I have to make are the calls where soldiers are killed. If you look at the traditional way, if you look at President Obama and other presidents, most of them didn't make calls. A lot of them didn't make calls. I like to call when it's appropriate, when I think I'm able to do it. They have made the ultimate sacrifice. So generally, I would say that I like to call. I'm going to be calling them. I want a little time to pass. I'm going to be calling them.
And of course, Curtis, we know that was just flat out fake news, a lie, not true. Not only President Obama, which I'll get to in a second, but Ari Fleischer, a colleague of mine over at Fox News Channel, came out immediately and said this is ridiculous. Of course, President Bush called and visited, to Ari's count, almost 500 families who lost loved ones, their men, their women in the line of battle. And so, you know, Bush apparently did that a lot. Obama certainly visited Arlington, visited with Gold Star families, visited Walter Reed, Dover, of course. So I don't know where the president was getting this from. And then by his own admission, President Trump kind of walks it back.
I was told that he didn't often, and a lot of presidents don't. They write letters. I do. Excuse me, Peter. I do a combination of both. Sometimes it's a very difficult thing to do, but I do a combination of both. President Obama, I think, probably did sometimes, and maybe sometimes he didn't. I don't know. That's what I was told. All I can do is ask my generals. Other presidents did not call. They'd write letters, and some presidents didn't do anything.
But it seemed to me he dug himself even deeper.
Yeah.
He's blaming it on the generals.
Who, by the way, didn't he say, Curtis, and correct me if I'm wrong, during the campaign that he knows more than the generals?
Yes.
Okay, I thought he said that.
So here it is. The president, who didn't even have to comment on this, he hasn't yet reached out to the families of the Marines who were killed in that special convoy that was operating in Niger in Africa. All right. I understood. Nobody's faulting him. Nobody's criticizing him.
Well, some people were. I want to say not his defense, but, you know, because you're not on Twitter. But, I'm the Twitter. On Twitter, social media, which is instant, folks were saying, was Trump silent on what happened in Africa?
I understand. But most Americans are not. Yeah. It's not like there's all of a sudden a windstorm of criticism coming down on Trump. So instead of just saying, you know, I will be calling each of the families of these brave Marines who lost their lives in service of our country in this special mission in Africa to uproot the Islamic State and all their affiliates. Should have just left it at that. Suddenly denounces Obama, which is like a knee-jerk reaction to everything. Everything, if it gives him license to criticize Obama, he does it. Then brings in all these other presidents involved. Bush 43, you know, Clinton. We can go right down the line. And I'm saying to myself, why? And then instead of just saying, hey, I had misinformation, I'm sorry. You know, simple, I'm sorry, although you never hear that from Donald Trump. He just digs in even more, claiming the generals told him this. And I don't ever remember any of the presidents, whether I liked them or disliked them. I didn't like Obama. I didn't like Bush 43. Mm. But I don't ever remember any of them neglecting their duty of reaching out to the families of servicemen who were killed either in the line of duty or even sometimes in practice sessions here back in the homeland, you know, training operations and such. It just was completely uncalled for.
Well, you know,
and let me see if this bounces and resonates even with some of our many Trump supporters out there. That was uncalled for. There are enough things to comment about to take Obama to task for, Bush 43 or any of the previous presidents. This is something you should have just left alone. 1-800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222.
Oh, totally right, Curtis. I mean, look, here's the thing. Nobody, no sitting president, I don't care what your politics or policies or party are, is going to shade and ignore and disrespect the fallen men and women of this country. That's number one. But number two, to your point, when blame Obama doesn't work, the next best thing is blame crooked Hillary. So then the president yesterday in the press conference pivots to this and decides to tweet out about Hillary Clinton and makes it about Hillary yet again.
Oh, I hope Hillary runs. Is she going to run? I hope. Hillary, please run again. I think she's wrong. Look, when they take a knee, there's plenty of time to do knees and there's plenty of time to do lots of other things. But when you take a knee, well, that's why she lost the election. I mean, honestly, it's that thinking. That is the reason she lost the election. And if Hillary Clinton actually made the statement that in a form, sitting down during the playing of our great national anthem is not disrespectful, then I fully understand why she didn't win. I know. I mean, look, there are a lot of reasons she didn't win, including the fact that she was not good at what she did. But I will tell you, that is something that I had just heard about. And I think that her statement in itself is very disrespectful to our country.
Now, Curtis, I actually can't stand Hillary Clinton, and everybody knows that. But why are you even bringing Hillary up? Nobody's talking about her.
Well, because in a re-election bid, he would lust to have Hillary.
He wishes.
Yeah. In the polls, if you notice, Hillary hasn't gained any traction against Trump whatsoever.
Wax sauce, man.
That would be the dream opponent for Donald Trump, and I think it would guarantee his re-election, even with all the baggage he's accumulated.
No, you're right.
Because people so hate, despise, and loathe Hillary. They don't trust her. They don't believe anything she says. And the Democrats, it would be a pox on their house if they would even consider renominating her.
Better not. She was rejected by the base of the Democratic Party in 2008 when she ran against then-Senator Barack Obama, who was a brand-new senator, junior senator, didn't have very much experience by way of politics at all, and they elected him over her in terms of the primary. And then she was rejected again overwhelmingly by what matters. I don't want to hear about this popular vote victory. Who gives a damn? The Electoral College rejected Hillary Clinton when given the opportunity. So the Dems, if you're listening, you better not even think about running old HRC again.
Well, in fact, here's Hillary Rodham Clinton herself.
So you have to resist what are very clear, what we call dog whistles to that base. That's what the black athletes kneeling was about. That was not against our anthem or our flag. That was actually kneeling is a reverent position. It was to demonstrate in a peaceful way against racism and injustice in our criminal system.
Well, that's convenient. She knows a lot about dog whistles.
I know, but dog whistles to the base?
Yeah.
Is that the appropriate word to use?
Actually, I think so. I do think Trump was dog whistling to his base of invoking, black anti-patriotism.
I know, but in already having demeaned his base.
Right.
On many occasions.
Oh, deplorable.
To suggest that you're dog whistling your base. What are you talking about your base?
Well, she knows all about dog whistling because her and Billy Boy do it all the time as well.
I know, but she can't stop herself from attacking his base.
I think she resents him, Curtis. She resents his base so much because they are just the kind. Because remember, a lot of Trump's base, you know who they also voted for? Barack Obama. Okay, so she really resents that type of voter. Correct. Like my mom, who pulled the trigger twice for Obama and once for Trump, and if given an opportunity, I'm sure she'd pull it again for Trump.
Well, let's open up our phone lines on that. 1-800-848-WABC. Hillary sparking up versus Trump. Trump lusting for a return, round two, in a reelection bid against Hillary. That would be a dream come true for him. 1-800-848-WABC. But the problems that Trump has is internally with his own party.
Yeah.
He met with Mitch McConnell yesterday, said, oh, it's never been better, our working relationship.
That's how it looked on Mitch's face, too, by the way.
Yeah, yeah, right. it looked like he was half in the bag from that Kentucky bourbon. But then he said he understood why Steve Bannon, that he exiled from the West Wing of the White House, was attacking the Country Club Republicans, which has obviously caused a lot of insurrection amongst Republicans in general, whether they be Tea Party advocates, supporters of Mark Levin's point of view, or the old traditional country club Republicans.
Well, Steve is very committed. He's a friend of mine, and he's very committed to getting things passed. I mean, look, I have, you know, despite what the press writes, I have great relationships with actually many senators, but in particular with most Republican senators. But we're not getting the job done. And I'm not going to blame myself. I'll be honest. They are not getting the job done. We've had health care approved, and then you had a surprise vote by John McCain. We've had other things happen, and they're not getting the job done.
Now, interesting how he never blames himself for all the dissension he's created in the ranks of his own party members. He comes in with a plurality in the House, a plurality in the Senate. He can't deliver on his agenda. But it's not his fault at all. It's all these guys' fault. Yeah. You know, these gals' fault. Mm-hmm. It's Collins' fault.
It's Susan Collins'
fault. It's McCain's fault.
Correct.
It's whomever is the evil one of the day, Corker's fault.
Yep.
And after a while, you got to say, don't you accept any of the blame here that you are like a divider?
Well, you know, not only that, Curtis, that too, however, it's just like with Obama, right? Obama went in 2008. Democratic House, Democrat Senate control. He's obviously controlling the executive branch. And all he had to show for it was Obamacare, which he rammed down the American people's throat. But at least he did accomplish that signature piece of legislation to, I guess, his credit. Trump, if he doesn't get something done, whether it's tax reform, I don't think he's going to get anything done with health care. He's going to be looking in 2 years, Curtis Lee, well, mark my words, 2018, with a real problem on his hands, because then it's going to be, oh, they're obstructing me. Well, what do you have to say in the same critique of Obama, you had 2 years to get as much done as possible, and really you squandered it.
Let's go to Bob in New York. Welcome to Curtis and Ebony K. Williams here at WABC. Bobby.
Oh, hey, Curtis. Hi, Ebony. Listen, about Trump, let me tell you, I don't think he's wrong. I don't think he ever really does say anything wrong, but I think his brain is so smart and his brain's so fast that he stumbles over words. Like, but he says things, he's saying something, right? And it's like he's, I'm telling you, the guy just fumbles. What, he don't mean bad.
Yeah, but Bob, a smart person without having actual information would not say anything. That's being smart. When you speak without information, you're not smart.
Curse. He knows Trump is very smart. He knows what he's saying and why he's saying.
Okay, but you would admit, he is wrong on this. Bush 43, Barack Obama made coal. Well, how can you say he's right on this when he has been proven wrong already?
Listen, the reason why he stumbles when he talks is because...
But he didn't stumble. He didn't stumble.
Making excuses for this guy who will not shut up and listen to the facts first, and then he can repeat the facts. You keep making excuses for his behavior.
You guys pick on him all the time.
Oh, we pick on him. He says this. Nobody forced him to say this. Nobody forced him to malign Obama and Bush 43, who did their job as president in informing families who lost their loved ones in battle or peacetime. And yet you make excuses for him.
You guys make a lot of money every day on putting him down. Okay.
See, Curtis, by the way, and no disrespect, Bob, but this is you know what? This is where he's smart, because he gets his base, his supporters, all riled up.
You're an idiot,
Bob. He speaks out of turn. They demonize you, Curtis Lee, where they demonize me and anybody that holds the president to account.
Think of this.
But that's why he speaks with no information, because it gets them all riled up.
He's smart. He thinks so fast that he mumbles and stumbles. You know, in school, we used to say, that's an idiot. That kid is talking and he doesn't know anything. It's nonsense.
But Curtis, listen to me. Isn't it kind of smart to be so ill-informed that everything becomes an emotional plea because and everybody victimizes you?
It affects our entire nation.
Oh, totally. It's harmful. But I think if you're Trump, then you think it's very well played.
I'd like somebody out there to explain to me how he was right when everyone has come forward and said he was wrong on this matter, and he keeps insisting he's right. And what generals? I would follow up and say, what generals told you this? Specify. Was it Mattis, Mad Dog Mattis?
Kelly.
Was it Kelly? Was it your national security advisor? What general told
Joint
you
Chiefs?
This nonsense?
Yeah, I don't know.
That it's just not true. And you got more than enough Trumpers and Trumpets out there who are, oh, he knows. He's the smartest guy in the world. He thinks ahead. He thinks so fast,
but
he doesn't know what to say.
Curtis, he's a victim of his own genius. That's what you're hearing.
He's full of bull feathers. 1-800-848-WABC.
Imus in the morning.
So far, so good.
And Curtis and Ebony.
We've got good gangs and bad gangs.
I'm going to give it to them.
On air, online, on the app.
This is really good, isn't it?
77 WABC.
To the phones we go. And it's Joe Giuseppe calling from Northport. Welcome to Curtis and Ebony K. Williams here at WABC. Giuseppe.
Hi, Curtis. Hi, Ebony. Thank you for letting me come on the show. I happen to agree with Donald Trump. He's not the perfect president. He says a lot of things that are ridiculous. I agree. But I will tell you, the Republicans are a group of hypocrites. They voted to repeal this Obamacare for the last 7 years. Now that they have a guy in office who will actually sign the paper, they're afraid to go ahead with it. Why? Because then they'll be responsible for it.
Yeah, that's true. Now, that is true.
I have voted Republican my entire life.
Remember, Joe, on the second review with the House, when they passed the repeal bill, the president celebrated with them, only to say later that was a mean bill. I mean, who do you blame for that?
Like I said, he says some things that are not good, and I won't defend him on certain things, like a comment like that. You're right, Curtis.
Yeah, and so naturally you kick it up to the Senate and you give ammunition to the potential Republicans who were vacillating because the president himself said the House version was mean.
So, gentlemen, what we're seeing here, though, and this is what we all know to be true and nobody wants to say it, right? We know Obamacare has big freaking problems like these sky-high premiums and pretty thin coverage. Correct. And getting worse, by the way. But in the meantime, not the GOP Senate-wise, not the GOP House-wise, and not Donald Trump. Nobody has a overall better solution. And that's the problem, because the minute somebody does, then we have no problem.
Can I just make one other comment really quick?
Yeah.
Trump voters, we only had two choices on that ballot last fall. Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton. That was our choice.
Which were terrible.
All right?
Curtis and Ebony. The stories, the moments, the new midday show.
I fought the law and the law won.
77 WABC and the WABC radio app.
.138 as the plot thickens around Harvey Weinstein and the Pandora's box of assault, humiliation, degradation, and just perving and praying has been released. We've been focused mostly on powerful men in Hollywood who are taking advantage of women, mostly those wishing to achieve either becoming script writers or producers, directors themselves, and naturally starring in movies. Now, the flip side of that. The powerful men in Hollywood who prey on men and boys.
Yep.
And now we got an A-lister here who is being accused. In fact, it's a report in The Sun. The Sun will not name his name, but says it's an A-list actor caught up in a Weinstein-style scandal, except it involves men of that gender. And then I see, according to Gateway, the Gateway pundit and squawker, that they have come up with a top U.S. broadcaster who has claimed that this Hollywood A-lister assaulted a loved one of hers. And they are naming the woman and they are naming the star. And that's why we play the theme from House of Cards, because the finger is being pointed at actor Kevin Spacey. Mm. According to reports, an insider said rumors about this actor have circulated for years. So whether it's true or not true, and the over-under point spread would suggest it might be true because people are coming out of the woodwork now. Look at, if you can help us, Ebony, connect the dots. The plethora of people coming forward now and claiming that powerful men in Hollywood are preying on men and boys, in addition to what Harvey Weinstein and Oliver Stone and Ben Affleck and others are doing to women and girls.
Absolutely. And, you know, Curtis, it's not just women and girls, and I'm glad that this is coming out. We had Terry Crews last week talking about an episode where he says he was molested in front of his wife, no less.
That, to me,
is crazy.
Was mind-boggling. He's standing there with his wife. This is like a social gathering.
Yeah.
And this high-powered man in Hollywood comes up and pulls his chain right in front of his wife.
Literally.
Can you imagine how stunned he would be?
And embarrassed and emasculated. And he said, you know, I wanted to respond, but couldn't because I knew that it would be perceived negatively on me.
Wow.
And that's really the sad part, right, is the victims can know and anticipate this.
You know what that reminds me of?
What's that?
Downstairs. One of the big fans, we were talking about this yesterday, Woody Allen sitting courtside, you know, with his adopted daughter, who is now his wife,
right,
with all the other trendoids. There always used to be a seat for Calvin Klein, the great designer.
Sure.
Obviously had a great line. He came up. He's like in a drunken stupor. He came up in the middle of a game. He comes out on the hardwood, and he's trying to feel up, at the time, Latrell Sprewell.
Calvin Klein?
Yeah. And Latrell Sprewell is like pushing him off, saying, Calvin, you're like half in the back.
Right.
You're bad if you. But apparently, and you've seen some of the spreads, the Calvin Klein spreads, where guys
are
showcasing their three-piece set. And I'm not talking about the knife, the spoon, the fork.
Yeah, Calvin Klein's used known for, Curtis, you know, kind of asexual, gender neutral. That's the word, gender neutral.
So apparently he had a predilection towards that and went away to, I think, alcohol rehab.
Mm.
But I'll never forget that. Imagine, of all people, the guy who almost strangled his coach, Latrell Sprewell, you're going to walk up on the court and try to feel him up in the middle of a game.
No,
that is whack.
It's whack. It's crazy. It's not just young girls and young women. It's young boys, too. And I wrote on this back in 2014. You can go the receipts, as the kids say. Go to the internet. Google Brian Singer, Ebony K. Williams. You'll see a piece I did, Curtis, on the Daily Beast, where I talked about his strategy of getting out of this before it spiraled out of control was naming and shaming. He would name an alleged victim and basically shame them into silence so that this thing wouldn't pick up steam. And I guess in the words of Woody Allen, become a witch hunt. And I think, and this is a little sexist on our part as a society, ladies and gentlemen, I believe if that had been young girls that Brian Singer was accused of prodding with alcohol and pool parties and these things and ultimately molesting and sometimes raping them, he would have been ostracized like we're seeing with Harvey Weinstein. I think it's because it was boys. There wasn't as much outrage and as much stigma associated to it.
Now, didn't he try to commit suicide?
Yeah, I mean, he's obviously, you know, a very disgusting man.
Sickle,
yes. But we're not new. This is not new. And apparently, Curtis, the sad thing is, this is known in Hollywood. This is known to be like a little circle of underage boy predators that are, for some reason, continuously protected by their fellow Hollywood elites.
Then there's James Vanderbeek, who's come out.
Yep, Dawson's Creek.
Well known.
Yep.
Said early on, as he was climbing the ladder of his acting success, powerful men were preying on him when he was a teenager.
I believe it. It's so sad because, because he kind of came to prominence as a young actor in that show, Dawson's Creek, probably 15, 20 years ago now. But he was of that age where I'm sure he was very vulnerable.
And resonating in my head now is Woody Allen saying, gee, I hope this won't trigger off a witch hunt.
Right.
Really?
What do you mean?
That's your concern, Woody?
Yeah. That is their concern. They want to protect each other, Curtis. It's sad and sick.
Well, because it's a very incestuous world there.
Yeah. It's a would you say cesspool?
Incestuous world. With cesspool-like qualities.
Correct.
Anyway, now that we've flipped the script and we see that it affects powerful men preying on not only women and girls, but men and boys, what kind of colonic is going to be issued to the culture of Hollywood that apparently was wearing window shades on their eyes, mm-hmm. cotton balls in their ears, and a zipper on their mouth to all of these indiscretions. Because we can't point to any one whistleblower other than the Italian starlet who got Weinstein on tape with proof of really any extended effort to try to vet these pervs out of their system.
No, I think that it was. It is sad because it's not that different than when we look at what's happening in broadcast news now and other industries, Curtis. Well, now, today, people are saying zero tolerance, enough is enough. But for years, it's been the presumed culture. That's what it is. It's been the presumed culture, casting couch. It is what it is. Look the other way. Get the job and move on from it.
Our number is 800-848-WABC. That's 800-848-9222. Let's go to Paul in Regal Park. Welcome to Curtis and Ebony K. Williams here on WABC.
Hey, guys, there's an 800-pound gorilla in the room about this conversation, as far as I'm concerned, and it's Donald Trump. Donald Trump is a powerful businessman. Donald Trump was accused by 15 women of doing the same exact thing. And everyone, and what, you know, what's going on here? Everyone's killing and tar and feathering Weinstein, and Trump is walking around like
there's, there's a big difference. Allegations were made against Trump. Nobody ever filed charges, civilly or criminally.
Not yet, though, Curtis. But we were talking earlier this week that a woman is seeking a subpoena to possibly move forward.
I know, but
with
that's Gloria Allred, who's got, who's been on Trump's jockstrap all through the campaign.
All right, but it is out there.
Look how quickly her daughter bailed out of being a protector of women under a siege when she decided to become a consigliere to Weinstein and then backed out because it was too hot to handle. So, Paul. Other than the tape, the Hollywood Access tape about what Trump was saying, there is no documentary evidence whatsoever that Trump did this. Now, do I believe he was capable of doing it and perving? Yeah, but it's a lot unlike any of these other allegations that we've seen.
Yeah, don't forget, though, Russia, I bet 10 to 1 Russia's got a tape. I bet Putin's got a tape in his back pocket waiting to go.
Oh, no, you're talking about the golden shower tape?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, you keep knocking yourself out waiting for that tape to emerge. Yeah, I'm no friend
of
that.
Well, listen, if there was a tape, Curtis, let me tell you this. If there's a tape and Hillary Clinton and her team of opposition researchers, which know no financial restrictions, never found it.
Right.
Or didn't find it, well, then shame on her.
Our number is 1-800-848-WABC. Let's go to Joanne calling from Long Island. Welcome to Curtis and Ebony K. Williams here on WABC. Joanne.
Hi, I love you both. You're great. I just wanted to say it's all a very left-wing liberal cover-up because they give so much donations to the Democrats and funding and pushing them to be president. So it had to be the Democrats that covered all that up all these years because that's the only... They only give it their money to the Democrats.
Yeah, but you're saying the Democrats covered it up. It was the industry, meaning the movie industry, the TV industry, the creative industry in Hollywood that covered it up. I don't. The Democrats, it's not like they work in that industry. They just take money from people in that industry.
But they know all of this is going on. You can't tell me that they didn't know all this is going on.
But Joanne, you're a woman. I'm a woman. And what we're talking about here, why is the knee-jerk temptation to go left, right, Republican, Democrat? I don't understand
that. How about this? Joanne?
I don't know why.
Joanne.
Ebony, you know why? Because they always give all their money to the Democrats.
All right, but Joanne.
But Joanne, the Republicans got plenty of money.
Let me use the name of Ronald Reagan, who was president of the Screen Actors Guild when he was a Democrat.
Right.
You don't think he knew what was happening in Hollywood?
Well...
Yes.
Come on. Yeah.
So the point is, Ronald Reagan had probably as much access to this information. He was the president of the Screen Actors Guild. He never said anything about the culture. Back then, nobody said anything about the culture of Hollywood. And he became a Republican, a staunch conservative. And he never, not in his memoirs, not in any of his speeches, not in any of his reflections, ever commented back to a time in which it was Sodom and Gomorrah in Hollywood. 100%. That's where he established his reputation, his fame.
I just think going partisan is distracting from the issue that this is a culturally pervasive issue that affects young boys, young women, and men, women, period, in this country. And we got to not distract from the issue.
Let's go to Anthony calling from Edison. Welcome to Curtis and Ebony K. Williams here on WABC. Anthony?
Yes, good afternoon, Curtis. You're the man. And Ebony, you're a sweetheart.
Thank you, Lord.
And I wanted to say that, you know, I think we've all accepted this for like the last 100 years. That's been like the status quo. Hollywood's its own kind of woman activist when it comes to the adult film industry. How come nobody's complaining about that?
Well,
you know, there's like two subcultures here, you know?
The classic example, and was portrayed in The Godfather, if you remember when all of a sudden Tom Hagen, the peacetime consigliere for The Godfather, visits the big mogul, the producer, the director in Hollywood. Hmm. And who does he have upstairs but a Shirley Temple lookalike?
Hmm.
I mean, that was very common back then.
Yeah.
And Ronald Reagan knew it. Democrats knew it. Humphrey Bogart, you couldn't be any more liberal or progressive than Humphrey Bogart. Big names who might have been able to say something, but chose to remain quiet. 1-800-848-WABC.
You for your midday.
Ebony Williams is here.
Curtis and Ebony. Exclusively.
Bring the noise!
Where New York comes to talk. 77 WABC.
To the phones we go, and it's Robert in Long Island. Welcome to Curtis and Ebony K. Williams here at WABC. Bobby?
Yeah, thank you very much for taking my call, guys. I want to say that I disagree with Ebony. She was talking about how...
how damaging it is to politicize an issue that goes across the aisle.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, and I'll tell you exactly why. Because the narrative from the Democrats, from the left, this was literally probably the strongest out of the whole. You know, we went over the campaign was ad nauseum on the, you know, and the strongest, you know, narrative was grab him by the P, that tape. So how could you that whole narrative is gone now? It's like you're saying, well,
that narrative's not gone. It's just joined by the narrative of there's a serious epidemic, systematic problem. That, yeah, you know, when this story broke, Robert, I was the first to say, where are the voices from the leadership of the Democratic Party on the issue? And eventually they came out slowly, to my taste, but they came out eventually. But that's not helpful. It's not helpful to even talk about it from that lens. We got to talk about it and bust it wide open so that everybody's held to account.
Well, I think in the sense where I totally understand what you're saying, but I think in the sense where it's like, look, misogyny and this kind of behavior, it transcends race, money,
gender. Yeah.
And exactly, you know, and that's another thing too is there's a lot of sexual assault.
Because let me tell you why it's problematic, Robert. I hear what you're saying, but if we get to this point of it's the Dems or it's the GOP or it's the right or it's the Republican, you know what happens? Everybody gets tribal.
Now,
everybody goes to their corners, they protect theirs, and then we don't have a solution.
Ebony, I'm still waiting for Jay-Z to weigh in on this, partner of Harvey Weinstein. The silence is deafening from Jay-Z and Beyoncé, Thunder Thighs.
Well, you know, they're silent, Curtis Lee, because they're busy counting all their money up, making sure they got their billions ready so they can buy Harvey Weinstein's interest in Miramax. At least that's what my sources tell me.
Oh, so he wants to become a degenerate Hollywood mogul himself.
He's almost a degenerate
hip-hop master.
Bring the noise!
Curtis Sliwa, the Guardian Angels founder and leader.
Attorney, radio, talk show host.
Fox News contributor Ebony Williams.
On this side of the law.
Both sides have extremists.
On that side of the law.
To the millions, I feel this is problematic.
Turn it up!
Every story in the city matters. Every moment of the day matters. Every conversation matters. Curtis and Ebony. Curtis Sliwa.
Now putting aside the politics.
And Ebony K. Williams.
They don't make band-aids for hurt feelings.
The stories, the moments, the conversation.
I fought the law and the law won.
The new midday show, 77 WABC.
I like to be in America, okay by me in America. Everything free in America.
For a smoke, be in America.
Okay.
Arriba! Andale, andale!
Did she say everything free in America, Curtis?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, I didn't get that memo.
As we're high atop Madison Square Garden, the great facilities provided to us in order to do this broadcast to all of you by NJDiet.com, we can actually look across the Hudson River peer up towards the George Washington Bridge. And next to Palisades Park, swings all day and after dark, is Cliffside Park, where approximately about 30% now of those kids attending their public school system there are Hispanic. And there was an English class conducted by an English teacher on Friday that broke into quite the rabble and led to students yesterday walking out of school and having an impromptu designation because they claim that the teacher's remarks to them were off the hook. Apparently what transpired was the unidentified teacher started telling a student in a class of seniors and juniors that U.S. soldiers are not fighting for your right to speak Spanish.
Ooh.
They are fighting for your right to speak American.
Oh, Lord.
In fact, let's go to the audio tape.
Military men and women fighting are not fighting for your right to speak Spanish. They're fighting for your right to speak American. You want to leave? Be disrespectful. Leave. Disrespectful.
Yeah. So the kids, they're all up in a roar. They walked out of school yesterday. They're waving Puerto Rican, Dominican, Brazilian flags. Brazilian? What does that have to do with Spanish? They speak Portuguese.
Yeah.
But anyway, maybe the kids are confused about their geography also.
Lord.
So they're out protesting. The Board of Education of Cliffside Park doesn't know what to do with the teacher. I'm sure the union is supportive of the teacher, the NJEA, all 200,000 strong in New Jersey. But this is a problem that takes place not just in schools across our tri-state area and beyond, but over the counter, when you're dealing with vendors and sometimes their employees. I've seen this in banks. I've seen this in all kinds of facilities where people will start indulging in their language, maybe, or their country of origin, Spanish. You're not privy to it.
Yeah.
You have no idea what they're saying. And it burns you up because particularly when you know they're talking about you and they're either making fun of you or they're talking trash about you.
I'll tell you where this happens a whole lot is nail shops. Certainly in communities across this country, many of the nail shops are predominantly owned by someone of Asian descent, whether it's Vietnamese, Koreans, whatever. And they will go into, as you say, their national origin language. And we don't know what you're talking about. Now, I don't have this experience because I go to a nail salon, Nails by Lisa, in Harlem. It happens to be black owned, so we don't have that issue. But so my girlfriends tell me that
do they speak ebonically there?
No, Lisa's a fully educated woman. She speaks very proper English.
Just wanted to
the
know.
The king's English. Okay. But yeah, you know, it's an issue. And I don't think this teacher, though, Curtis, you're right. I'm sure the union came out in full force. But she's got a serious problem on her hands as far as I'm looking. Speak American, first of all.
Well, what she meant was speaking.
I know what she meant, but I mean, that's not what she said. And we got the tape to prove it. So, you know, her intention is really lost on me, Curtis. You got to forgive me, because when you say that the troops aren't dying for you to speak Spanish, first of all, you're wrong. They're dying for you to speak whatever the heck language you want to as a citizen of our country, because that's what freedom looks like.
Let me tell you what I think led up to this.
Please, because I'm confused.
We're now in midway through October. So she's been their English teacher since the beginning of the term year, right after Labor Day.
Mm-hmm.
I think what happened is she's trying to teach them English, and she hears so much of them catcalling and talking and interrupting in Spanish. She has no idea what they're saying. At times it's very confusing, as it would be confusing for anyone who doesn't understand a foreign language. And she just reached her boiling point. And if you notice, when she said what she said, there was a chorus. All these students were yelling and jackling at her at the same time, instead of like raising their hand, being called upon, then standing up.
Well, she disrespected their culture. I wouldn't raise my hand either. I think she did.
I don't know.
I think she was out of order.
Let's find out from our many listeners out there. 1-800-848-WABC. Was the teacher out of line? by telling them that they ought to be talking English and not Spanish.
She said American. Say what she said, Curtis. She said American. Talk American.
Which we know means English. And that it's because men had gone off and fought in wars, fighting for your right to speak American. Or were the students wrong in jumping on her and then immediately calling for a class walkout yesterday, which happened, waving their Puerto Rican, Dominican, and Brazilian flags. 1-800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222. Let's quickly go to Giuseppe. Joe, who's calling from Fishkill. Welcome to Curtis and Ebony K. Williams here on WABC. Giuseppe.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I think now, mind you, this is coming from an American kid, but of Spanish descent. So my parents spoke Spanish to me in the house, and I spoke back in English, and I could barely speak Spanish right now. But, you know, I think the military fought for people to be able to have liberty.
Right.
And if your liberty is to, you know, if you're an Italian family, you want to speak Italian to one another, no matter where you come from, if you want to speak the language of your heritage to one another, that's all fine. But I think, you know, I think it's expected that people be able to communicate with one another in the common language of country.
But Joe, let's assume this was not a bilingual class. It was in an English-only class. That's what I'm reading here. And obviously, she's trying to teach him English. Some of these students, no doubt, maybe couldn't speak that well in English. Others could.
Yeah.
Don't you think maybe the teacher reached a point of frustration where she's telling them, you need to speak English here, you know?
Absolutely, and I would tend to agree with her. I mean, you know, if you live in the country, it doesn't matter what country you live in. If you live in a country where the predominant language is whatever it is, if you live in Italy, you know, you should be able to speak Italian. If you live in Germany, you should be able to speak German. You know,
I was just in Paris, though, and, you know, I was able to, you know, most people there are at least bilingual. Most of them speak both French and English. And nobody told me to speak French. I was able to speak whatever I could, the little bit of French I could muster.
The frogs there who always look down on Americans and act like they don't understand English when you're talking to them. I've had that experience. They didn't give you that treatment?
No, you know what I did? I go in the shop, Curtis, I say bonjour, and then from there, you can speak whatever English you want. Just show a little bit of respect, and then after that, you can. They spoke to me in fluent English, and it was no problem. I guess I'm sorry, fellas. I just feel that this lady is being a hater, and instead, if you know 30% of your classroom is Curtis, is Hispanic, Curtis, I would think maybe you'd want to know a little Spanish. Maybe that's helpful. Maybe that's helpful.
I'm having a flashback here to Ocasio-Fall. Let me see. I'm thinking that maybe they treated you. I'm thinking of that black actress who went
Josephine Baker?
That's right.
I was their Josephine Baker, Curtis. You're exactly right. I think they thought it was deja vu. They're like, it is the second coming of Josephine Baker.
That's right. Anyway, let's go to George calling from Suffolk. Welcome to Curtis and Ebony K. Williams here at WABC. George.
Hey, how you doing, guys? You're doing an awesome job. I listen to you every day. I'm an Iraqi war veteran. Puerto Rican. Mm-hmm. American Puerto Rican, right?
Well, yes, exactly, since everybody doesn't understand that. Go ahead.
yeah, you're right. Actually, I have a home in Puerto Rico that's not doing so well. But anyway, my wife's a teacher, and she actually agrees with me. Of course, you got to be careful what you say around the teachers. You mean, everybody gets angry, because, you know. But when I went to and joined the military, I was a Navy corpsman with the Marine Corps, stationed with the Marine Corps. So when I went to war, it wasn't to speak the national language, because there is no national language in the U.S., by the way. Believe it or not, in India, the country India, the national language is English. They have, they speak a lot of different languages. But in the U.S., it isn't. I mean, I can understand people being upset, but you know what? Sometimes you got to shrug it off and be the better person. And just be, you know, I mean, it's a melting pot. Learn another language. How about that? Just learn. If you're going to be in an area where predominantly they're going to speak another language sometimes or sometimes not, maybe you learn another language. I mean, they're going to hurt you. I mean, I'm not saying, you know, to each his own. You know, if you're hurt by it, all right. But I'm not. And I didn't go to war so people just speak English.
Correct. I don't think most soldiers would say that.
You know?
And thank you for your service, George. That's important. Thank you.
Let's go to Penny, who is calling from New Jersey. Welcome to Curtis and Ebony here at WABC. Penny.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call, first of all. Hello?
Yes, Penny.
Yes, thank you. You're welcome, Penny. You're live and local.
Hi.
Yeah, go.
May I speak?
Yeah, yes. Yeah. You're welcome to speak, but you got to speak now. Or we're going to have to flip the script on you.
Listen, I work in a school district and as an aide, and I'm getting a little upset that they're making such a big deal with this poor teacher. And it's not because I'm working in a school system. I'm working as a mother first, okay? I'm speaking as a mother first. I raised a child. I'm from Greece, and I'm not embarrassed to say it. Yes, I taught my child to speak Greek only because to benefit her in the near future. In her education for the future, the more languages you speak, the better off you are. Correct?
Absolutely. Correct. 100%. I don't have the luxury, Penny, of having a bilingual household, but I have friends that did, and their parents failed to do what you did for your children, and I think it's a real tragedy.
It is a tragedy, but when is it okay that I see that it's the parents are ruling the education system? We need to put a stop. We don't even teach anymore because we're afraid of lawsuits from parents. It's America. We should all be speaking English.
I think that's gone, though, Penny. I hear what you're saying, and I'm American. That's all I know, and, you know, it's not to my benefit, to your point, right, that I only speak English because, you know, I'd have a lot more options if I were bilingual. This whole nostalgia, and this is why Trump won, Curtis, of, you know, America great again, and it's just nationalism, and America's going to go do her thing in isolation. It's a stale, backwards business model, the global business model. The incentives are too high, Curtis. It's moving forward with or without our consent, and people better get used to it.
Yeah, but imagine how ironic it is. People around the world struggling to learn English because it's the international language, and then people who are already here who have the platinum card, and they don't want to learn English.
Yeah.
Well, let's go to Chris, who's calling from New Jersey.
That'll hurt him. That'll hurt them.
Welcome to Curtis and Ebony here, Chris.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I think the teacher had every right to tell them how it is. The kids weren't listening. They're being inappropriate, and the teacher told them how it is and put them in their place. They're students. They're kids. They're not adults. They don't have the rights that we do. They're children. They should be put in their place and be respectful of their elders. And as for the language, they should speak only English in school. Sure, when they're outside of school, when they're at home, speak their language, whatever. But they're getting ready for the real world.
Yeah, exactly. Chris, you know what the real world consists of? It consists of a multitude.
In the real world, Ebony, the dominant language in the United States
has been. Chris, I don't know. Chris, how old are you?
I am 25. I'm not saying they have. I'm saying the dominant language, the language that they're.
Chris, you said you're 25 years old? You're 25?
Chris,
no. Listen to me. Are you 25 years old? Because I don't think I believe you're 25 years old, Curtis. You know why? Because any millennial will tell you that that is changing. You can no longer say that in the real world it's only English.
Although,
it's just not true.
If you go to Cliffside Park and nearby Palisades Park, swings all day and after dark right by the George Washington Bridge, and you drive around, and in Fort Lee especially, because you have to go round and round, you see that the signage there is in Korean.
Exactly.
That's where your nail shops, many of them are.
Correct.
Although, I wonder if these were, instead of Hispanic kids in the classroom, in the English class, Korean kids, I don't think they would have taken the same approach to objecting to what the teacher said. They would have been more constrained, more respectful. I think they would have handled it a different way. Koreans tend to be far more insular than
perhaps.
Hispanics, who are far more extraneous, you know, everything is
drama. I think it was the numbers, too.
It's a novella.
I think it was 30%. They felt they had a good, not a majority,
yeah,
but good numbers.
I would bet you in that public school system, there are just as many Korean and Asian kids, if not more, than Hispanic kids in Cliffside Park and Palisades Park. Our number is 1-800-848-WABC.
Imus in the morning.
So far, so good.
And Curtis and Ebony.
You've got good gangs and bad gangs.
I'm going to give it to them.
On air, online, on the app.
This is really good, isn't it?
77 WABC.
Going straight to Rich from Brooklyn. You're on 77 WABC, Rich.
Hey, how you doing, guys? Hey, Curtis, you're out in Oyster Bay. If only Teddy was still running this country. This Cliffside Park thing, not only is it an American school, the class was English. I know you're a Brooklyn prep guy. When you took a language in school, every interaction was in that language. They're just throwing some more hand grenades, man.
Yeah, I had to take Latin. I hated every second of it at Brooklyn Prep, you know, and I used what I called my crib notes, or you call your cliff notes, in order to translate Caesar's Gallic Wars. But I failed that class, too. I hated Latin. And then they wanted to give me Greek.
That's tough.
What the hell am I going to do with Greek, right? Am I going to go live in Astoria? Anyway, let's go to Harley, who's calling from New Jersey. Welcome to Curtis and Ebony here on WABC. Harley.
Hi, how are you? And thank you for taking my call, Curtis. And thank you, Ebony. It's nice to meet you over the telephone. Anyway, we have to realize, I guess it's Cliffside Park High School. And they're all nice children, I'm sure. I'm up in Demarest here. And sometimes when we're not included in their conversations or we feel that we're part of a joke and that kind of thing, we kind of retreat back and we feel bad that we're not included. I don't disagree to learn English as the predominant language. However, I wish I spoke a second language, even a third.
Mm-hmm.
However, I do respect the teacher and I respect authority. I think that's very important. They're probably nice children. I think it might have gotten a second or two out of hand. It's really just a comment. I'm sure they speak English very well, and our teachers are doing the best they can. We all live in lovely homes and nice towns. These are nice children. I do agree, though, like I said prior, I'm more concerned, truthfully, I think they should learn how to spell a little better instead of texting. I don't.
Yeah, autocorrect has really ruined that, huh, Harley?
Ebony, I don't know. But anyway, that was really just my comment, and they sound like a nice group of kids.
Well, Harley, you say they sound like a nice group of kids. They stormed out of school yesterday, protesting on the steps of the school, waving Dominican flags, Puerto Rican flags, Brazilian flags, not an American flag in sight.
That's
and you said you assume that they speak English well. The reason they may have been in that English class was because they didn't speak it that well.
Come on, Curtis.
And they
First
got
of all,
to if they are going to survive and do well.
But you can't
in this
presume that they didn't. They were taking English because it's a required class, Leva.
Look, this is Cliffside Park High School. Come on.
Well, I think Carly's just a very nice woman, I will say, because she must have said several times that everybody was a very nice young person.
But, look, there are two ways to approach a teacher.
She's just nice.
You can approach them and try to bum rush the teacher, as they clearly did in that audio, and shout her down. Or you can respectfully wave your hand and say, hey, madam teacher, whatever your name is, I think you're off the hook on this. You know, you're taking it wrong. Our conversations internally with one another, it's not out of disrespect to you. We're just more comfortable in our native language, Spanish.
I think that would have been a better way. I agree. There could have been more respect and deference to the authority in the classroom. But I think this teacher sounded like she was out of line.
And when we were calling you a kook and a nut and a crazy,
Spanish.
You think we were to tell you that in English that you would understand? No.
They're trying to be polite.
Yeah, we spoke about it in Spanish with one another.
Spare your feelings.
While we were pointing at you, giggling at you, and making fun of you.
Yeah, well, welcome to teaching.
Yeah. Welcome to Ken Duffy, who's going to give us our news headlines. And don't do it like they do it on La Mega or Wado. This is English-only radio
WABC.
No,
Curtis and Ebony. The stories, the moments, the new midday show.
Up on the law and a law one.
77 WABC and the WABC radio app.
Wait a minute.
Fill my cup, put some nigga in it.
Take a sip, sign the check.
Curtis, I know how much you love Bruno Mars. That's why we're coming in with Uptown
Funk. I despise him. I love Bruno Mars.
You love Bruno. Well, we're talking about Uptown Funk because in a minute we're going to talk about, you know, how much I love my neighborhood. I love Harlem. I love being in Uptown Manhattan. But it's some cuckoo, crazy, freaky, deaky stuff going on. But up first, I heard you got some money you're trying to give away.
Yep, this is an antidote to anybody who, like me, wanted to soil yourself when you heard Bruno Mars. Because now we have an opportunity to make you some Scotto. You get a shot at $1,000. It happens four times a day this week on 77 WABC. So you got Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Listen for the key words at 9.05 a.m. during Bernie and Sid. 12.05 right here on this show. 3.05 during Michael Savage's show. And 6.05 during the Mark Levin show. You text the key word to 62582, and you could be a winner. The new 4K a day contest is on. Just listen, text, and win. That's four times a day. If you need further details, just go online to WABCRadio.com. That's WABCRadio.com. So what's wrong in your hood?
What is wrong in my hood? That's absolutely right. So, as we know, Harlem is changing, right? You don't have to be a rocket scientist to see that. We got Whole Foods now on 125th Street. Gentrification in full effect. A part of that, of course, is taking these buildings and putting million-dollar condos left and right. You cannot even control it, Curtis. You wouldn't believe it. It's all the time now. So one of these buildings off of Fifth Avenue, right adjacent to Marcus Garvey Park, a park I walk by almost daily in my commute. Well, they're getting a peep show of sorts they did not anticipate. And I'm not talking about looking up in the high-rise glass-to-glass windows and seeing couples getting busy in their apartment. That's normally what some people complain about. No, no, no.
You mean like down in the meatpacking district,
correct. Yeah, Tribeca, Soho, all that.
Where the freaks come out to play.
No, the opposite. You're talking about people that are paying $1-3 million to live in Harlem now, which is happening on a regular basis. And they are in the middle of the day, 2 p.m., 3 p.m., looking across the street at the park that they, you know, have a beautiful overlook into, seeing people getting freaky deaky, hanky panky, all kinds of things going on, multiples, all kinds of freaky deaky stuff. And they're not happy about it. They're saying, listen, I'm paying $1-3 million to live upwards of 110th Street, sometimes upwards of 125th Street. And I got to see this crap and the paraphernalia, the condom wrappers, the lubricant. You know, it's just, it's unseemly what's going on up there.
Welcome to Marcus Garvey Park.
Mm.
Surprise, surprise, surprise. Look, ever since the crack epidemic of the 80s hit and the crack zombies descended on Marcus Garvey Park, you have male hookers there. You have transgender hookers, gender bender hookers. You have female hookers there. They'll go in there. They'll trade off on drugs for sex.
Uh-oh.
And it's like Sodom and Gomorrah. It's fornication and copulation, mostly at night when the sun sets, but not limited to the night. So
no.
If people all of a sudden are in their high-rise condos and they're staring outside at the park and they're expecting to see, you know, sparrows and birds.
Hydrangeas.
And, right. People just walking, you know, through the beauty of the park. They're going to be in for quite the shock. It's sort of like when you go visit a area and you buy a new house and you only see it during the daytime, but you don't see it at night.
Mm.
And then suddenly you're shocked by the activities transpiring at night. So welcome to Marcus Garvey Park. Now, the difference is.
Yeah.
When the original Harlemites who populated that area and complained about this to whatever administration was there, whether it was Giuliani, Bloomberg, now de Blasio, they got little, if any, attention. But I guarantee you, with all this newfound money coming in, with a lot of hipsters, millennials, and the Euro trash, and others who are buying these condos as investments so they can flip it, start complaining.
Sure.
You'll have a whole squadron of the NYPD out there with their barricades. Stopping and frisking almost anyone who looks like they're in there up to no good, either because they're using drugs, selling drugs, or selling sex.
So you're saying, if I hear you correctly, Curtis Lee, well, that the makeup, the demographic of the people occupying the housing in that general area is making a difference in terms of this crackdown, pardon the pun.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And in fact, for many, many years, as soon as these sites went up on the internet where you could hook up,
uh-oh.
Gay men would see, oh, yeah, if you were black gay men, people of color, you could hook up in Marcus Garvey Park. It's a small park. It's easy to find your way around.
Sure.
As opposed to if you went to the general area where a lot of gay guys hook up, regardless of their background or color, the Rambles in Central Park. Man, you could easily get lost in there.
Walk up to the wrong person, like, uh-oh.
Exactly. In the Rambles, easily get disoriented, get lost in there, and end up walking outside of the east side of the park instead of the west side. So for a lot of people, it's more convenient. It's always been, though, a dangerous spot.
I got to tell you, and I just feel completely naive because you schooled me today on this one. I walk by Marcus Garvey Park 3-4 times a week. I had no idea what the hell was going on in that park.
And you would think, especially because Harlem is so African-centric, here's Marcus Garvey, an iconic figure in African-American
history. Back to
Libya
movement, yeah.
ended up getting busted on mail fraud because he was set up by the government because he was selling passage on ocean liners.
Yeah, back
blacks,
to Africa.
Right, who wanted to leave.
Yes. I don't see, by the way, I don't know why they were upset about that
there
at all.
There were a lot of whites who wanted blacks
correct,
to leave.
Correct, you send us back, just like send people back to Mexico, send us back to Africa.
But they railroaded him.
Yeah.
And hit him with a charge, a mail order fraud, and I think he actually went to prison for that.
I think that you're right. And listen, I think he was onto something, frankly, and I don't know why the heck the federal government was so opposed.
Because at that time, they hated any kind of black nationalism, and that's what he represented to him, Marcus Garvey. And, you know, he had that fedora with the plumes.
Oh,
and
yeah.
He looked like a five-star general.
Very grandeur.
Some
very
third
grandeur.
World country, some mm-hmm. dictatorship. Anyway, so I think I helped you out in your squeeze
wow.
there in Harlem.
Yeah.
So stop complaining.
Well, are you saying this is the cost of gentrification?
No. Just this is what original Harlemites have to deal with.
Right, but nobody's paying $2-3 million for that.
Well, that's your problem for being suckers. But anyway, on that note, when we return, Ebony K. Williams has some special words for all of you. Don't go anywhere.
For your midday,
Ebony Williams is here.
Curtis and Ebony, exclusively.
Bring the noise!
Where New York comes to talk. 77 WABC.
Oh, my goodness, Curtis. I got to tell you, I've never been good at goodbyes. They're just, you know, hard for me because, particularly here, my experience at WABC, although very short-lived, was really cool. Lots of fun, lots of better days on your part. But really, truly, the crew here from the suits on down really were warm and generous with this opportunity and really gave me a chance to try some cool things that I'd never done on air before in terms of topics, format, styles. And I just want to really thank you first, because this doesn't work if that dynamic is not in par and there's not a chemistry and a synergy there. And you, I think, were remarkable in facilitating that. So I want to say thank you, Curtis Sliwa, for all that you did around that and making me feel right at home here. Justin Belove, who every day helps us put together this great show. And, you know, of course, Brian Gallucci for manning the board up there. And then, of course, Chad Lopez for his leadership in this. And the man that brought me to the dance, so to speak, Craig Schwab. Who really helped me cultivate a lot of opportunities here at WABC. This show just started, but as you know, for a couple of years now, I've been dipping in and out of here, filling in from a news anchor standpoint, from a guest host standpoint, and, you know, Craig's vision really made everything make sense and really brought it all together.
So now, because you're exiting, it was Imus this morning.
Oh, Imus.
Who spoke about you leaving to pursue TV opportunities, of which you've had ever since they canceled the specialist on the Fox News station. Obviously, it had nothing to do with your performance. It was Eric Bolling's personal problems that suddenly became Anthony Weiner style. So that program went out the door,
yeah.
And I see that people are interested in you in having you on TV.
Yeah, you know, and that's exciting in the sense of exactly as you say, Curtis, you know, the specialist went bye-bye. So now, you know, and I write about this in the book, and this for anybody listening to this, you know, this is one of those moments where when something like that happens, and you've been in the business a long time, Curtis, you know that type of thing happens.
Sure.
It's not what you want. It's not necessarily foreseen. But it happens all the time. And you got to just pick up the pieces, rebuild, and move on. So as I'm having exciting dialogues with different networks about what makes sense in terms of the next opportunity, I am genuinely excited for what we're talking about. And I can't wait to come back on the program and share that with you and the listeners here, who, by the way, the listeners have been phenomenal. That great book signing we had here on the Upper East Side,
oh, yeah,
where folks from WABC came out and really engaged with us. It was beautiful. And if you want to say bye, I guess you can do that tonight too. I'll be in Harlem with what do you call them, the Black Ebony Queens of Alpha Kappa Alpha,
the SWA
or the SWAs
with attitudes.
Those sisters of mine with the good attitudes will be at the Boys and Girls Club in Harlem off 145th, not by Marcus Garvey Park, right. Not taking in any peep shows, but indeed talking about to the young kids and doing community service.
Well, what's interesting is Ebony had come to us a while back, told us she had these opportunities, newfound in TV. And Chad Lopez, a.k.a. Choles, a.k.a. Chelo, our capo di tutti, who's the head of the Cumulus family here, gave his blessing, as did Craig Schwab, our program director. And I did. I said, you got to pursue what is available to you, and you've certainly taken that route. What you have helped us do, though, is craft a different kind of format. So it's not just white guys angry all the time, talking about how great Trump is and how bad Barack Obama was. We've added to so many more topics as a result of your involvement with us in the last 4 months, cultural issues, social issues, personal issues, relationship issues. And as we now pursue a replacement for you, we'll certainly we're going to keep this format in effect, because we're not going to go back to just having two white guys here talk about Trump, Obama, and politics all the time, because there's more to talk radio than just that.
Yeah, and that, frankly, Curtis, way more to you than just that. I had no idea what I was walking into when Craig had the bright idea to pair us together, but goodness, you've got just such broad experience, from your multitude of marriages and wives to, you know, reproductive health. Who knew you were the guru, the authority on frozen embryos, frozen eggs, IVF, you name it. I mean, and even... I told you, we really talked about doing the Curtis Lee with Fashion Critique Corner, because you always had something to say about my mini outfits on the Fox News Specialist.
That's true. That's true. But we all wish you the best of luck, Ebony K. Williams.
Thank you.
You were great on TV over the many years. You'll be great again on TV. We'll be looking forward to seeing you there. And you're obviously welcome back here anytime, any place, to join our family here and let us know everything that's going on in your life.
Well, I'm going to miss you dearly, Curtis Lee. Well, I'll never hear the phrase, "I've had better days," and not think about you. And I don't like saying goodbye, so I'll just say, see you later.
Good luck, Ebony.
Thank you,
Sleeve. The future is yours. Take it now.